Thank you for joining us on this podcast from Hilltop United Methodist Church. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. The locals would say we are just a little bit east of the intersection of 7th and 106th on 106th. God's blessings to you. We hope to see you on Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Peace be with you.
Romans has an overarching theme. That overarching theme is words of assurance. God can be trusted. Here in this passage that Alan read to us, Paul makes a claim. He's talking to us a little bit about the Torah, the law, those 613 commandments, 365 of which are thou shalt not. That's what Paul is talking about when he says the law. Now let's be real clear here. For Paul, the Torah, the law, is sacred. It's holy. It's part of what sets us apart. It helps us understand what justice is all about. The Torah is good. We are the problem, not Torah, not the law. And it comes about because of sin and how remarkably effective sin can be. Sin is that which causes us to miss the mark. The word that Paul uses here is an archery term. You're trying to hit the mark. Whose mark? God's mark. In the writings, the Torah is what establishes that mark for us. But we humans twist the Torah. We twist the law so that it becomes what one commentator says is a dark and sinister replica of itself, condemning rather than giving life. Paul is arguing here that when we join Christ through faith, that we are in fact accomplishing what God intended for the Torah to do in the first place. Be a giver of life rather than a thief of life. It would be easy to get to the Torah as defined by us and reach a place where we just throw our hands up and give up and say, I can't get there from here. Why bother? I'm hopelessly doomed. Which leads us to the words that start right before where Alan read. Right before, the words are, so then with my mind I am a slave to the law of God, and with my flesh I am a slave to the law of sin. It's almost like Paul is saying, I give up, I quit, I cannot get there from here. Then he makes this astounding statement. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Alan invited you to open the Bible. Let me encourage you to go open your pew Bible to page 157. I'd like to go through it just a little bit with you if you can. 157 in the pew Bible. It's Romans 8. The word order here for Paul, when he says therefore, I don't know quite why the NRSV, the New Revised Standard Version, translates it the way they do, because the first word in the Greek is therefore. That's what Paul says, therefore. And when Paul says therefore, it's like being in the army and listening to the first sergeant. Heads up, listen up, I want your attention. Paul is saying, give me your attention, because I'm about to say something that's important. It's dramatic. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He just said, it's hopeless. He's just said, you can't get there from here. Then he gives us the answer. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free. It's about being free from the law of sin and of death. Then he starts to explain how that's true. And every time we read the word flesh, and Paul does use the word flesh. All right? And sometimes when Paul uses the word flesh, he literally means meat, us. But sometimes when he uses the word flesh, he's talking about the human condition. And most commentators argue that's exactly what's being done here. So as we read along, instead of me saying flesh, I'm going to say human or human condition. Let's see if this helps illuminate it any. For God has done with the law, weakened by the human condition, could not do by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful humans. Now, it's not that Jesus looked like he was human. He just looked like he was sinfully human. The reality is he had no sin. But he was clearly 100% human. And to deal with sin, he condemned sin in the human, so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to humankind, human condition, but according to the Spirit. What Spirit? The Holy Spirit. You notice in your translation, it's a capital S. For those who live according to the human condition set their minds on things of humans. But those who live according to the Spirit set their mind on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the human condition is death. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is not on the human condition is the mind that is set on the human condition is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the human condition cannot please God. Does that change it any at all? Does that help you understand what's going on? The law is perverted by us. The law itself is good. The law itself is holy. But we do things like sit down and say, all 613 are important. All of these are very, very important. We must do all 613. What the Pharisees were doing was actually noble. It was trying to bring about the kingdom of God by inviting people to follow all 613 commandments. Rigorously following all 613 commandments. Now, the next section is Paul's second answer to that. First answer is that God sent his son to walk among us appearing to be sinfully human. The reality is he was perfect. Now, Paul then moves to some things here, and the translations, again, are a little odd, because sometimes in Greek, the word if doesn't really mean if conditionally. Sometimes it means given that. If, given that statement, and I'll read it that way in a second. So as you read through this, I'm going to change some of the ifs to given that, or since. But you are not in the flesh, you are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But, here's the first one, it says if in your translation. If you translate it instead, but given that Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Right relationship. Given that the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you. Paul's world, there were no conditional Christians. In Paul's world, by people saying they were people of faith and they believed in Christ Jesus, that gave them the gift of the Spirit. That sense is critically important for us to be able to understand what Paul is driving at. It's not a conditional statement in the classical English kind of concept of that. If this happens, then that. What Paul is saying is, given that you are a follower of Christ Jesus, the world is different for you. He also plays a little bit. Paul regularly gives us words that they're echoes of those words coming out of the Old Testament, out of the Hebrew Bible. Paul was a biblical scholar. The Torah was very important to Paul. And Paul would have written these words here, and he would have been probably thinking about the Exodus experience. He would have been remembering how it is that God's presence was made known in the tabernacle as the children of Israel wandered around the desert. God's Shekinah, God's shimmering spirit, God's shimmering presence. Most of the time in the Hebrew Bible, when the word Shekinah is there, it's God's glory. God's glory. And whenever God's Shekinah is present in the tabernacle, everybody knows it. Everybody knows it. You can sort of sense the presence that's there. For Paul, you and I are tabernacles. He uses that idea in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. He reminds us that each of us is a tabernacle on behalf of God in the world. And so he's taken that idea of the fact that we're tabernacles for God. We're places, holy places for God. And he's taken that Shekinah, that God's holy presence, that presence of God, that shimmering quality of God, and he's placed it inside of each of us. I don't know about you. That's pretty exciting. Wow. So when Paul might have sat there and had an English requirement in maybe Forest Park, Georgia in 1963 and got assigned to read Jonathan Edwards' Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Has anyone ever read that besides me? I see a few hands go up there. You've heard of it though, right? Back in those days, they didn't have the internet, didn't have baseball, didn't have Baptists have to beat to the buffet, and the sermons lasted for 4 hours. I have to assume there was a bladder break in there somewhere. Jonathan Edwards would preach a sermon and says that we're just sinners in the hands of an angry God, and that's what God, Paul has set up in Romans 7. He's suggested to us that we are indeed sinners. And then he comes back and says, but all of that's not important. All of that's set aside. All that's set aside by God's shimmering presence that's inside of each one of us. What does that say to us on this beautiful August day in 2014? One, I think, is the translation of understanding the word since, S-I-N-C-E. It's not conditional. You believe in Christ Jesus as your Savior, therefore, things happen as a result of that. It doesn't mean you go out and, Paul's very clear, you don't go out and lead any kind of life you want. But that all the things that burdened you in the past are set free, they're removed from you. And how does that happen? How does that happen? Because of the sacrifice of Jesus. The creation was disrupted. And the creation was disrupted, and Jesus came among us to be at one with us. There was an atonement. And then the creation has been restored. Over and over and over again in Romans, Paul is dealing with this Adam in the fall and Jesus as the new Adam. Adam, atonement, new Adam. Sets in motion a recreation. The things that separate us from God are removed. But the other thing I like about this passage is his choice of words. Paul's choice of words. God's Shekinah is in the tabernacle. God's Shekinah, God's Spirit, God's holy presence, God's glory is present in that tabernacle. And then Paul says, God's Spirit is present in you. God's Spirit has set up, not only what he uses there, is God's Spirit has set up housekeeping in you. Again, I step back and go, wow, what a wonderful idea. What a wonderful concept. The reality is that the Spirit was there all along. And your faithfulness, you're saying, I will submit myself to God's love. I will open my life up to God's love is what allows that to be activated, to be turned on. The Quakers use this idea of this inner light. George Fox would suggest over and over and over again, that our main role as Christians is trying to figure out a way to learn how to turn this inner light on. Paul would say, you get to turn that inner light on by recognizing it's there. It's there all along. It's already set up. It's set up housekeeping inside of you. That would be echoes for Paul from his understanding of the Torah. Just one passage I could read to you from Jeremiah. Jeremiah verse 31, chapter 31, verse 33. Paul, Jeremiah would write, "But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after these days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God." Stuff here is important. We don't throw it away. But let's understand that part of what Jesus was dealing with, part of what Paul was dealing with, is the fact that sometimes we use our human condition to pervert the good of this book. We see that every day. We see that all around us, where people will take the goodness of this book and they will use it in a way that serves their means, serves their goals, and does not connote, does not project God's love that is here for each of us. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, let us be open to the idea that your Spirit is within us. Your holy presence is within us. Your sacred presence is within us. Your glory is within us. And how that allows us to elevate ourselves beyond our human condition. And all of God's children say, Amen.
Thank you for joining us on this podcast from Hilltop United Methodist Church. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. The locals would say we are just a little bit east of the intersection of 7th and 106th on 106th. God's blessings to you. We hope to see you on Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Peace be with you.